Tomorrow is Hoshana Rabbah, so I wanted to go through some of the halachas and minhagim related to Hoshana Rabbah. It's dependent on a number of sugyas, very involved sugyas, very much related to minhagim and a lot of Kabbalah and panimis involved in the sugya. But I just want to discuss the basic halacha going through the Shulchan Aruch and the various poskim as to pashup shat, what should be done. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tafresh Samach Dalad, the first sif, he describes what a great day Hoshana Rabbah is. That it's considered a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov because we know the mission of Rosh Hashanah tells us we get judged for the water on Sukkot, and Hoshana Rabbah is the Chasima. This is the last day of Sukkot, so therefore it's a Yom Tov, and that's the reason why we have a longer Pesukah de Zimra, and that's why we say other things. We dress differently. Some would wear Big Day Shabbos, Big Day Yom Tov, maybe more chashiv clothing than they would otherwise wear on a Chol HaMoed. But the Ramah says, even though we say a Pesukah de Zimra, that of the Yom Tov, we don't say Nishmas Kol Chai, but we do say Mizmor LeSoda. And everyone has their own minhagim. Different places have different minhagim. Some went so far to say Le'ela, Le'ela, and Kaddish. Some say that the Mordechai wrote that he would say HaMelech HaKadosh or HaMelech HaMishpat. There's a real din of Yom Tov going on here, Yom Kippur almost going on here, some Kibbutz Shavuos, where we get judged and we stay up all night learning. But there's a serious Yom Tov on Hoshana Rabbah, Le'el Hoshana Rabbah. The Magen Avraham points out that many would stay up to learn all night because it's like Shavuos. So there's a real Yom Tov that's going on here. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, when a person goes home after davening in the morning, he should have a real Sudas Yom Tov. Sit down, have the dishes of a Yom Tov, have the food of a Yom Tov, a real din of a Yom Tov on this day, this night of Hoshana Rabbah. The Ramah writes further that some have a practice of not doing any malacha until they've left the base knesset, until they left shul, and the Magen Avraham points out some would not bring their wallet with them. That makes things a bit challenging, because if you can't bring your wallet, how are you supposed to buy their rabos in the morning? So the whole idea of Chaim Kanievsky points out is we don't want to do business in the morning of Hoshana Rabbah. So money is not muksa. It's not muksa on Hoshana Rabbah, nor is a wallet. Just the person shouldn't act in such a way where it seems as if he is conducting any business going on here. So how are you allowed to then buy and sell a ravos on the morning? So says the sense of Shlomo Zalman, it's like heter ochel nefesh. This is the din of the day of Hoshana Rabbah, is to use a ravos. And you, of course, need to buy the ravos to use them. So this is bechlal what he would call heter ochel nefesh. One would be allowed to do such business on Hoshana Rabbah. There's a practice they bring down that some would read the entire Sefer Dvarim Leil Hoshana Rabbah. There's a big inyan in Apikabal to do such a thing, but there's a debate whether one should say a bracha or not say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah. Some say it's not a real Kriyas HaTorah, so it doesn't warrant a Birchas HaTorah. Others say, and whenever you read in the Tzibur, you always have to recite Birchas HaTorah, since it's a Safek. So therefore Rav Yashiv, among others, said that one should not, in fact, read the Sefer Dvarim at night time. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes further, other minhagim that we would do is that we'd have Neros, the candles lit like Yom HaKippurim, and we'd go to the mikvah before Alos HaShachar like Erev Yom HaKippurim, and the many would be knowing to wear kittel. Now, the practice really was only the Chazan wears the kittel. And again, because the idea is we're nidon in al hamayim, we're being judged, it's like a Yom Kippur here. The Shulchan Aruch adds that the practice is to undo the agudos of lulav when you go around the Hoshana seven times to undo them. So there's a debate at what point a person should undo them. Some say a person should undo the lulav right before Hallel, because the idea is to do nanuim. The Mordechai points out the idea of the Nanum in general, as the Gemara tells us, is to ward off all the Ruchos Raos. So when you undo the Aguda, so now it shakes more, it's more effective in warding off the Ruchos Raos. Levush says the reason why is because it's greater Simcha. The more it shakes, it's greater Simcha. So according to this, it would make sense that person should remove them right before Hallel, when he does all the Nanum with the Lulav, and when he does all the Nanum to create Simcha. So that's practice. Some are taking off after they've shook the Lulav once and said the Bracha, then shook it. Then before Hallel, many take it off at that point. Others say, no, you leave it on for Hallel, and it's only before the Hakafel, only before the going around in the Hashanahs, do you remove the Aguda. But there's a Din Shulchan Aruch that one is supposed to remove the Aguda. Okay, then, if you go further in the Shulchan Aruch writes that the practice is that a person takes a Rava on the day, a separate Rava, aside from the Lulav. And the practice based on the Gemara is that a Shamish of the Beis Knesset, a certain Gabbai, would put them out to buy from him. The Gemara talks about how the Shluchei Bezdin would be the ones to give out their Ravos, they'd be in charge. So in a similar way, the Chazan Beis Knesset, the Gabbai, the Shamish, would be in charge of selling the Ravos. So now who has to use their Ravos? So everyone agrees that obviously the person above Bar Mitzvah has to, but what about for kids under Bar Mitzvah? What about children at home? What about girls? So really one doesn't have to. It's really only one person could do it. And even many poskim say you could even use them over and over again. Use the same aravos for others as well. But still, nonetheless, the practice is that one buys for all the children at home and for his wife at home, for all of them to do their separate aravos. That's been the practice in Klal Yisrael to do that. Now there's a debate whether or not one is allowed to reuse a Rava, like I mentioned before. They quote from a Tshuvas Zokin Aaron that says one should not reuse it, even if there are leaves remaining, one should not reuse it. But Rav Ozner writes that it's pasha that one is able to use it. There is no Isser of reusing it. There's no Hana, banging it. Normally you can't get Hana from a mitzvah, davar mitzvah. But banging it is not considered getting Hana. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said also, he says it's not a Mikir Din, one's allowed to do this. So long as there is at least one leaf left, one's able to pass on to the other people to use it. But again, the practice is that one does, as long as they can afford it, and as long as they're available, practice is that one should buy separate ones for each family member. Now, how does one tie it together? We buy the ravos, the ones I buy, usually wrapped in rubber bands. I've seen also wrapped in a ravos as well. So this is a discussion. The Magid of Rum points out that one's makbid not to use ali lulav, not to use the rings we use for lulav, made of lulav leaves, to wrap their ravos around. But the Magid of Rum writes, it doesn't make a difference because it's not a chatzitza between, if you're assuming you're holding around the kesher, surrounding the eged. How could you put ali lulav? How could you put lulav leaves around their ravos? It's not the right min. It's a chatzitza. So the Magid of Rum quotes from the Gemara that tells us, kola nalso enochotis. Anything that's there for beauty cannot be considered a chatzitza, even though it's not the same material, it's not the same min as their rava, it's not a chatzitza. That's how the Magid of Rum paskins, but still nonetheless, some were makbid to use the use a rava itself to wrap around and tie them together. So I've seen different minhagim, whichever way you do, you're going to be fine. They quote from the Saibla that he used to use, there's a string wrapped around it, maybe a rubber band around it. Either way, it's fine because in the end of the day, it's not going to be chatzitza because it's so small, most of your hand is going to be holding the aravos themselves, the stems of the aravos, and won't be a problem. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes that the height of it should be the height of 3 tefachim, like a normal arava of as part of the lulav. That's how the 5 aravos should be as well. And there's the Rama writes that the Shulchan Aruch writes, all you really need is one stem and one leaf is enough, but the Rama adds that it's not such a nice thing to do. Rather, a person should have very nice Hoshana Rabbah, Hoshanos, because they're keli ve'anveyu. And therefore, one should have very nice ones. Growing up, there was always someone who had a ravos in his backyard. He'd come with these 8 feet tall ravos as Zekeli ve'anveyu, even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it. It is brought down in Poskim. There is such an Indian of having a beautiful Hoshana Rabbah, the use Hoshanas for Hoshana Rabbah. Such an Indian exists. So if one is capable, it's very nice. There's nothing wrong with it. It's considered Zekeli ve'anveyu. So then there, Shulchan Aruch writes further that a person should be chovid ba al karka, hit it on the karka, or al kli, or 2 or 3 times, that's what a person should do. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about where a person should ideally hit. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even though the Mechaber mentions either on the ground or on a kli, the practice is to, according to the Arizal, is to only do it on the karka. Pikabala, there's in Tadafka do it on the ground. And the Ben Ish Chai says the ground means actual dirt, not on carpet, not on wood, not on cement, not on tile. Rather, a Pi Arizal should be dafka on dirt, karka olam. So what the Mishabur suggests is first a person should hit it 5 times on the ground, and then afterwards he could hit it on the chair, on the kalim, on the table, to remove the leaves. But he points out one doesn't have to remove all the leaves. So what's a practice that some try to remove all the leaves? So the Chai Adam says it's a minog of tinokos, mishum simcha. The kids have a good time doing this, getting rid of all the leaves. But there's no need for an adult to have to do this. It's just hit it 5 times. You don't even have to remove any of the leaves. In fact, the Rizal says if you remove the leaves, it's possible. Has to be, all the leaves should really be there for all 5 whacks. You should have all the leaves there. That's the mitzvah. So don't whack it hard. You just hit it down 5 times in an average hit. And this way you don't ruin the leaves. That's the idea according to the Arizal. But the Rama adds as follows. The Rama says that in addition to that, yesh omim shetzarach la neaba, you have to shake the aravos as well. The Rama says the practice of the Ashkenazim is to shake it and then afterwards hit it. So rarely have I seen this done, but this is what should be done. That's what the Rama says. I've seen a few people do this throughout my life. So how should one do the Nanuim? So I once saw a Rav Vashul doing Nanuim to all 4 directions and then up and down. But they quote from Rav Yashiv that one doesn't need to do it in all 4 directions. Rather, a person just shakes it. You shake it a little bit and that's it. A small little shake. The Shlomo Zalman points out one should be holding it the way it grows, the right side up, in order to be mekayim these Nanuim. Now, what does a person do afterwards with the Hoshanah? So there are a number of different minhagim, some throw it on top of the Aron Kodesh, some take them home, various things what to do with them, but one thing that should not be done, as Shulchan Aruch points out, is that the person should not throw it down, even though you throw them out, you shouldn't step on them, you shouldn't have any bizayon. So many hold them till Pesach time to burn it along with the chametz, but there are a number of segulas that they point out with these aravos. Some say it protects you, leaving it near the bed. Some say the lulav in the house protects it. What do you do with the esrog? Some say you leave it as jelly, and it should be safe for Tu B'Shvat. A number of interesting things that it brought down, but this should be, what I went through is pretty much a summary of the halachos and the menhagim that should be practiced on Hoshana Rabbah. Everyone have a good krittel.